Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable, Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. After 2 years of research and development, and in collaboration with top guitar repair shops, Music Nomad developed in 2021, the Keep It Simple setup, aka KISS. And now thousands of guitar players, from beginners to pros, have learned how to set up their own guitar. They demystified the guitar setup process by developing innovative precision gauges and tools combined with step-by-step general guidelines anyone can follow and set up their guitar to play and sound great. With their KISS method and their gauges, you can check the vital areas of your guitar and use their toolkits to perform your own setups. They have a 24-page instructional booklet available in 7 languages, downloadable for free, and many how-to videos, both by setup tasks as well as many complete setup video tutorials for popular brands such as Fender, Gibson, Taylor, PRS, and more. Not only is it fun, but a properly set up guitar takes your playing and sound to a whole new level. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com. Their website has a very cool setup hub section where you can find everything you need to know so you can start setting up your guitar properly. Follow them on social media at musicnomadcare. Kiss your guitar with Music Nomad's Keep It Simple setup.
Matt, I was in the supermarket the other day.
Yeah.
And a man threw a block of cheese at me.
Wow.
How dare he? Welcome, welcome, dear listener, to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Joe Branson, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. You sound depressed by this week's dad joke.
Well, I just didn't think it was very vegan of you, Joe.
Oh, that's true.
Dear. Can't be telling dairy jokes.
Oh, yeah, no, you damn, yeah. Know. Only vegan dad jokes from now on, I promise.
To be fair, when I first met you, when we first started doing the podcast, you were far from vegan, I think.
Really?
No, you were veggie?
No, I
yeah,
think...
Yeah, because remember we used to buy snacks, and you'd eat all the snacks, and then...
Yeah,
weren't vegan snacks.
I've been vegan for like 7-8 years now, Matt. And I think I was vegetarian before then and pescatarian before then. But when you're veggie or pesky, you don't check, you know, ingredients on a crisp packet. That's something reserved for the
vegan. That's true. That is very true.
But that's something the human race doesn't do. It's one of those lost things. You know, they talk about all the abilities that human race has lost over the years. One of them is being able to read the ingredients on things. Unless you're vegan, of course, in which case you do read the ingredients and things. But anyone who's not vegan, you have no flipping idea what you're putting in your body. Like, no. I bet you've never read the back of a packet of anything.
I heard an interesting thing today. It's not very guitar related, but to round this this section of interesting news, that apparently fruit is so much sweeter now than it was like 20, 30 years ago because of how much we've engineered it to be as sweet as possible for humans. Right. That zoos have to stop feeding some fruits to animals because of the entire of the high sugar content, and it's causing things like tooth decay and obesity in animals. So they have to stop feeding fruit to animals because fruit is too high in sugar.
We are the worst.
How about that? So depressing. There we go. That was a
depressing start to the podcast.
It was. What's less depressing than that, Joe, is guitars. So shall we... we're going to Guitar Summit. We said it last week. I guess we're not going to pod while we're there because we can't guarantee...
Well, we'll see. So what we're doing is actually I bought us I've got this lovely couple of little Lewitt pencil mics that I'll be bringing, and I'll be bringing one of the Lewitt Connect 6 interfaces because that can run straight into my phone. So I figure basically, what we can do is, even if we can't actually put a show out whilst we're over there, we can potentially record one whilst we're over there, and I can just put it out as soon as I get back. So we'll see. Okay. We're going to play it by ear. Okay. We're going to see what occurs. But we have the ability. I'm bringing the ability with us, and then we can decide whether or not to do it.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's going to be a fun-filled 3 days. Germany. I haven't been to Germany for a little while, so actually I go to Germany probably more than any other country. It seems to work out that way. Germany or Spain. But yeah, back in Mannheim. Might explore a bit more Mannheim this time. Last time I was there, 2019, sort of doddled between the convention center and the hotel, and the hotel was next to the convention center, so I didn't basically go anywhere.
Wow. Well, it's full of great bars and great restaurants. I did quite a few of those last year when I was over there, and I intend to experience more of what Mannheim has to offer. So I'm very much.
As long as you're not go to the ones you weren't banned from the first time.
There was one. I got banned from one. That was it. But no, it's yes. It will be fine. I just need to not do like a 24-hour drinking binge like.
I was going to say, put on your fake moustache, but would it be like, take off your real moustache?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. This is just you've got
Emma this time. She'll be keeping tabs on you, I'm sure. Exactly. Or paying off your tab this paying time.
It's all on the Guitar Nerd's dime this year. You know?
don't tell the Patreon listeners that. You know? Yeah. They'll be like, no, we want high quality content, not high alcohol booze.
Exactly, but we'll see. Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm especially excited about Guitar Summit is something that I think you told me maybe last week, is that there is a Guitar Summit flea market. Indeed. Where collectors and retailers will be bringing a lot of their gear for more a salesy vibe, because, of course, Guitar Summit itself is a lot of brands, lots of boutique brands, big brands as well, but it's basically showcasing gear, you know, a lot of custom shops showcasing what they make, a lot of big companies like Yamaha showcasing all their, you know, various lines of products. That's what the show's for, and this flea market is going to be way more around purchasing things. So I'm hoping to see some cool vintage gear there. In Germany.
I don't know. I didn't even go last time, so
no, me neither. I didn't really know it existed.
Don't know. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, what's there? I mean, it'd just be nice to go to a guitar show. Actually, I was doing an event on Friday, and I ran into someone I hadn't seen for a while, Simon from G7th Capos. And Tommy, his associate Tommy, and said we were going to be at Summit. Yeah, said we're going to be at Summit. They're going to be there as well, and it'd just be exciting to go back to it. A bigger guitar show. I mean, I didn't even go to Birmingham this year because I was on holiday, I think. So it'd be nice to go back. And don't forget, Joe, that also that band that dresses up as dinosaurs and plays heavy metal, Heavysaurus, will indeed also be at Guitar Summit.
Will they? I didn't know this. I actually have no idea who that band is.
I was just looking at the tickets and, yeah, 3-day ticket, including Friday and Saturday night in concert, including family special with Heavy Saurus, 44 euros. Such a bargain price.
Such a bargain.
But Heavy Saurus are a German based. Oh, no, sorry. They are a Finnish-based heavy metal band that formed in 2009 with music aimed at children. They all perform in rather elaborate dinosaur costumes.
Okay.
So there we go. It's almost like Max Sabbath, I think, to be honest, for me. It's all about the people that play Black Sabbath tunes and dress up as characters from McDonald's.
Oh, right. Okay, there you go.
But yeah, Mac Sabbath.
Mac Sabbath, I see.
Also some good masterclasses, Martin Miller, Nick Johnston, Bill Kellier from Mastodon as well, Pliny, Greg Koch, Thomas Bluge. I mean, he's all of them. Lovely guy. Matthias Asato, Yvette Young, Adam, Nolly, Get Good, Doug Wimbish, the legend that is Doug Wimbish. Oh,
good old Doug.
Yeah, it's going to be some. It's going to be a lot of masterclasses. Actually, we should try and see if we can hook up with Yvette Young.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see Doug Wimbish again. I interviewed him once years ago when I was at GAC. It was because he was an Ashdown artist. Actually, Ashdown brought him down, and I got to do this little chat with him about his gear. And he brought his actual Spectre. You know, he just has the one. I mean, I know he plays other Spectres. He's got that 5-string. He plays a lot, but his like Euro, his Spectre, the orange one that he plays with the PJ configuration, the EMGs, and it's all wrecked and worn. It's like, it's just that's the one. And he just flies that with him everywhere and plays it. Yeah. I'm always amazed when players do that. Like Juan Aldrete did that when we did the Ampeg and Earthquaker devices install at GAC, and he had his actual 1970 P bass fretless that's got a Bartolini jazz bass pickup cut into it, which is basically on all the Mars Volta records. Like, he didn't need to bring that. He could have played anything. He could have brought any other fretless that he owns, but he brought this legendary instrument and flew it over in a mono soft case. You know, it's I find it amazing when artists do that.
Yeah, it was. I remember Doug Wimbish came to the booth right at the end of the day on like the Saturday at Summer NAMM 2017. I think we just launched GT1000 and just instantly got some of the most bizarre sounds out of it I've ever heard. Like, found the flanger and then just like cranked it to full and like,
of course he did,
slapped the low E string and then like detuned it and then like added a bunch of delay. And I'm like, what is this? But that's because we had a, when we were in GAC, we had a Doug Wimbish Spectre for ages, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I loved that thing. But it was
expensive. We didn't sell any other Spectres, did we?
I don't think it was secondhand. I think we had that to sell as a proper one. I think we did sell Spectres, you know. But right. I think the problem was the Doug Wimbish one is a very specific color, and it was like £2,700. And I do remember that we sold it, but I think we sold it for, you know, under £2,000. So in the end, it was just, it wasn't the time for Spectre back then. Like now they're everywhere. They're doing really well. But when, you know, the bass department in GAC back in, you know, whenever it was 2015, you know, that was more, it needed to be a Fender custom shop to get out the door at that money. Mm. But
yeah, no, but we sold it eventually. I mean, my favorite bass was, I mean, I loved the Dusty Hill, but the Albert, cool. the Big Al.
The Big Al. I'd still buy that.
If I still had the money, or if I had money, I would absolutely buy that.
So the Big Al, dear listener, was the Music Man Albert Lee signature model, but as a bass, so the body was enlarged, and it had 3 single coil pickups, with the third one angled like a Strat pickup, and then had something like a 7-way blade on it as well.
I think actually the one we had, I think the one we had buttons. Was H. I think it was HH actually.
Oh, was it? Was it HH?
I'm sure we had an HH.
Actually, I think maybe it was just H. I think it was just humbucker in the bridge.
Yeah,
but I think maybe that was the problem.
The Big Al, they do a Big Al 5 SSS or Dits, which is, a five-string, three-single coil with two standard pots, two sets of dual concentrics, and four buttons.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely mad. But anyway, that's the bass I would have owned.
Yeah, 100%. You know, speaking about Doug Wimbish, you know, he's obviously famous for his ridiculous pedal board, but he doesn't use a switcher or anything, or really sort of conventional modern multi-effects. So his boards are so big because every pedal's doing like one job that he can turn on and off. He has, like last time I looked at his pedal board, he had three H9s on there. And it's because each one can only do one thing.
Yeah, it reminds me very much of... Well, it's very much the sort of Nick Reinhardt approach, you know, that kind of just step on it and see type of thing.
But when you do boards like that, the rate of breakage and also trying to problem solve live must be so high.
I just think I just don't know if I can be bothered to step on that many pedals. I'd just rather step on one button and it do all four. I know we had this conversation many times before, but that kind of does a switcher. I'm sure we were talking about it in relation to Polymath, but does a switcher stifle creativity because stepping on lots of different pedals and different combinations, or is it another way? Is it a different route to creativity because you can create pedal combinations and switch combinations of pedals on and off that you wouldn't be able to do by your feet in time for a change, for example?
I think it depends how much you do on the fly. I would say that it is stifling for writing, but probably not so much for performing.
I don't know. I just sometimes I find... I mean, I can certainly find that ideas or like nuggets of ideas come out of turning on different combinations of pedals.
Yeah.
But then I find that sometimes, you can then start to go down the route of turning on too many things. And actually, you've sort of just gone, could I have just done this with one pedal? Did I really need to turn on like six different things to get this one sound? I guess you can get in a bit of a, you must have had this more, Joe, certainly writing records that it'd be easy to create loads of different sounds, record that on the record, and then go, actually, how do we ever do this live?
Yeah. That can be problematic.
Because then you've just got loads of sounds. You're like, actually, do I need a pedal board to do all of that? I think that was the good thing about Nick Reinhardt was certainly he knew how to get certain things out of certain pedals and just... you know, use those as his core sounds, but bought a load of different pedals out on tour with him. But always knew how to get the specific, I would say, kind of, you know, Terramello sounds out of various different pedals. Anyway, how did we get here? Doug Wimbish.
Doug Wimbish. Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, we'll see him at Guitar Summit. I'm excited about that.
I hope so.
We'll see. This week, Matt and dear listener, we're actually going to do a bunch of news. We rarely do news anymore, mostly because you don't come to Guitar Nerds for the latest news, but also because there hasn't been that much that's excited us. You know, there have been select things.
Let the other guys handle the news.
Exactly.
Bryant and Steve's handle the news.
But that said, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we want to talk about that's been building up over the last couple of weeks, and I think this is a good episode for us to get involved in some of those things. First of all, before we deal with any of the incredible deals, offers, and new releases that we've been seeing knocking about, I wanted to talk a little bit about Gone Fishing Effects, this brilliant, wonderful little effects company, dear listener. They're owned and operated by the fellow who is the sound engineer for Simon Neil, the tech, rather, for Simon Neil from Biffy Clyro. And Gone Fishing Effects' first pedal release was the Boom Blast, which was actually, it was built in the Ashdown Custom Shop. And it was a super limited edition pedal that was just like a Simon Neil, you know, I think he'd signed everyone. I don't know exactly what the deal is.
I think they, because if I remember rightly, they were on that pedal show, and I think they showed it off at one point.
Yeah, that's
right. And I think they were considering making it I think Simon Neil was on there and they were like, oh yeah, we're going to launch it. And then I don't think anything actually ever came of it. And now you can't buy those. Oh, they were available from the Biffy store, but I don't think you can actually buy them anymore.
Right, yeah. They were weird and super limited. And I think they did a couple of colorways anyway, but yeah, they were cool. The Gone Fishing Effects have released a new pedal, which is the most remarkable thing. So the pedal is called Only the Dead. And the best thing about this pedal is that, I guess it's an odd shape, and all of the pedals that have been built in this range, I don't know how many there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm not going to count.
I think. Is it 20?
No, it's more 20. Than 20. It looks like 50. There are six a row there. So that's 6, 12. It's 50, something like that. But anyway, so these pedals, basically all of them clip together. They don't clip together. If they sit together, you can see one complete piece of artwork spread across the entire thing of a cool sort of Grim Reaper in a cowboy hat singing into a microphone and all this stuff around them, all these skeletons and speakers and asteroids in the sky and trees in the background and wolves and stuff. It's all of that sort of thing. But the whole thing, all of the pedals together make up that piece of artwork. So when you get a pedal, you get an individual little bit of this artwork, which is very, very cool. And you don't know what you're going to get. You could get anything. But
well, I think actually previously you could buy individual images or looking at their prior launch to this, they you could buy individual ones. I mean, it is very, very cool. I think it's always a shame that you will take that piece and you will never reassemble the puzzle.
Unless you meet all of the other people who have bought that pedal. It would be like Captain Planet with the rings.
Yeah. Earth, fire, heart.
How did heart get into that show?
Well, what I just needed an
it's
extra
not even
one,
an element.
They? No, the element of love, Joe. The element of love. I definitely think it's really cool. Obviously, not the first people to do it. I think ZVEX had definitely done that before.
Oh, did they? Really? I'd never.
Yeah, ZVEX had done it. And actually, Walrus did it. And I believe with Walrus, you could buy the complete set. So it was like six of their like delay reverb pedals, all different pedals, obviously. Right. But you could buy the set of six. But it is very cool. It's a great way to make everyone individual, still the same product, but make everyone individual and be able to offer some different things to everyone.
What I really like on the total image, this doesn't apply to all of the pedals, but where possible, the artwork has brought the LED placement in line with whatever nugget of art you've got on that pedal.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Like if there's a little wolf facing side on yours, then his eye will be the red dot. If there's a speaker, then maybe the center of the cone will be the red dot LED. You know,
cool. Now that's well thought out, because you could have easily had, it looks like 36 enclosures. You could have easily had 36 enclosures that are all exactly the same. So I think it's really nice that they've actually thought about the placement of each one rather than just, you know, have 36 of the same box, as it were.
Yeah, so that's very cool indeed. And listener, more exciting than that, their demo video, the actual official video from Gone Fishing Effects for this pedal, has the pedal being demoed by our very own Naomi McLeod, which is pretty cool.
Put a little round of applause in there.
Yeah, woo! Oh, actually, I do have one of those.
I meant in post.
No, I think I've got one. Oh, I don't have a round of applause. I've got a ballpark.
Batter up. No, that's amazing. I was watching the pedal show video with Mike Venart and listening to a bit more of the band, and very,
Empire State Bastard. They're fantastic. Yeah.
Super aggressive. Really very great. Angry.
There's a song on the album. Naomi does a great job. She does. Well, she's not on the record. She's just on live duties, actually. Hopefully she'll be on the next record. But they have a song on the album that's just Simon Neil singing and what's his name? Lombardo, the drummer.
Dave Lombardo.
Dave Lombardo drumming. It's just drums and vocals. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's a really interesting watch, actually, talking. I must admit, Joe, probably much to many listeners' horror and maybe your horror, but I've never really listened to a lot of Biffy Clyro, and I didn't really ever listen to a lot of Ocean Size. And so I didn't really know much about them, apart from obviously you know who Simon Neil is, but Ocean Size didn't know a lot about. Listened to a bit of it. Very cool. Very, very cool. I don't know. I remember a person I lived with was really into them.
They're one of those bands, I think, that people were either really into them or had no idea who they were.
Yeah, because they formed in 1998 and then went on to about 2011. So, yeah, sort of probably missed the really early part of it. And then I get the feeling that towards the end of their career, it was like maybe not bringing many new people in.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But a lot of loyal fans from there on in. But, yeah, very, very... Probably should give them more of a listen. But yeah. Empire State Bastard, I thought, were... wicked, super aggressive. I watched someone somehow managed to record the entire set at ArcTangent, which is great because it's obviously great to watch, but also if you're the person standing behind that person, very annoying. I can't remember I went to a gig recently. Who was it? And someone was literally standing there, filmed the entire first song on their iPhone. And I was like, the only time you're going to watch that again is if there's nothing on TV, you're sat in an airport and you're like, oh, I've got no Wi-Fi, so I'm going to watch that video again. It's just so annoying. So annoying.
Well, Matt, anyway. Do you know what's the opposite of annoying?
Not annoying.
And do you know what's not annoying?
What is not annoying, Joe? Tell me.
Sales on... great guitars.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, it can be annoying because if you've got no money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or if you've just spent a bunch of money on a great Telecaster and now a perfectly good one is coming up for absolutely no money. What I'm talking about, dear listener, is if you are in the Europe area, Thomann are doing some mega super duper sale on all of the last of the stock of Squire's 40th anniversary range. Now, the Squire 40th anniversary range is kind of a year in. I think they're outdated now. Is that right? Are we on the 41st year?
Maybe I think we are on the 41st year.
So that's probably why these are being ditched out at cheap prices. And they were incredible guitars. The problem was, dear listener, they were very premium, which meant a lot of them were hitting the 400 to... Well, they were hitting around £500. And I think a lot of people still... sort of get a bit squeamish about paying £500 for a Squire, even though if you take the name away from it, they're fantastic guitars. You've got to understand that's still built in. £500 for a Squire is an awful lot of money, whether it's great or not. So these guitars are now going for as little as £259, upwards to around £300. They are doing the guitars and the basses. They have a broad range. I posted on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook about one of the basses. They've got this gorgeous 40th anniversary 50 style bass, vintage gloss maple neck, in this gorgeous vintage blonde with a gold anodized plate. My goodness, you like, this is very gorgeous and premium. £288.
Gosh, it's nothing, is it?
absolutely incredible. The Telecaster that they've got, they're a 40th anniversary Tele they've got. So they're doing a 50s style bound. So butterscotch Telecaster, black anodized aluminium plate, bound black, but maple vintage tint neck, £259.
Wow.
That is,
I mean, that is just, that is a bargain and a half.
Exactly. And they've got that in, they've got that in vintage white or sort of butterscotch, and they've got it in a Dakota red as well.
Although for me, the Squire Paranormal offset telly in both red and black, actually, Joe, even cheaper at $225.
Oh, really? They're doing more than, they're dipping out more than just the 40.
Yeah. Like got just, a bit of a,
oh, wow.
a bit of a Squire Paranormal. I think, according to their website, they've got a bit of a end of summer deal on Squire, starting at $225.
Right, wow. So, oh, right. Yeah, I was just looking up the 40th telly. Anniversary stuff. Wow, that's incredible.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're massive fans of Stringjoy guitar strings, and you should be too. Stringjoy, if you don't know, are the world's first true string custom shop. That's where they started, with the idea to offer extremely high quality strings in all the funny gauges that you could possibly need. Shredders looking for a thicker bottom end, country players looking for extra twang, etc. But what they've become is something much more. Stringjoy realised that the standard that us players accept for string quality is pretty low. Manufacturers have been building cheaply and quickly for years, and we've just accepted that as par for the course. And most of us probably didn't really know any better. So Stringjoy moved into actual standard string gauge manufacture too, offering the same superior quality, craftsmanship and attention to detail that they do with their custom sets. Their whole thing is to be the best, not just to make the most. So I think they're well worth your time and interest. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to.
Although I must admit, I would be very tempted by the 40th anniversary Jazzmaster.
Jazzmaster in blonde with a gold anodized plate and a maple neck. Is that not the best thing ever? For £299. This is surely the best guitar ever built for £299.
I mean, that is, yeah, I would, if I had the money, I would be, looks like this even got, I don't know if this is the picture, but I mean, obviously it's got the barrel saddles rather than the screw saddles that you get on a Mustang. So instantly made that improvement. Looks like it's actually got sort of road worn or patinaed hardware as
it
well.
It does, in terms they do, yeah. All of the 40th anniversary stuff does have slightly worn, tarnished hardware. I can't remember who, someone had commented about it on the group. Let me see if I can scroll as I talk. Andy Manley, who has bought one of the P bases, those 50 style Brom P bases. He said, I can confirm it's a lovely thing. All the metal work is tastefully aged and the neck is incredible.
Maybe I need to buy one.
I mean, Matt, the 40th anniversary dear listener that we're talking about, Desert Sand is the name they're giving to the finish. It's kind of a butterscotchy vintage white. Gold anodized plate, yeah, a real one. Tarnished hardware, maple neck, vintage tint maple neck, white Jazzmaster pickups. This is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. £299.
I mean,
right,
basically,
now,
you know,
I'm gonna get one.
You've got the closest you've got to that, which we've raved about for years, is the J-Mascus. And the only difference to the J-Mascus is it's got a rosewood board.
Yeah, and I'd rather have the maple board.
Yeah, I think this is a very, very cool guitar for the money. That's an absolute, I'm surprised they haven't sold out already. That's an absolute steal.
Oh, I think I
buy
two.
Buy one for me.
I think I'm going to buy three things. I'm going to get two guitars and one bass. Maybe the Paranormal Cabernita Telly Thin Line?
Yeah, I saw that. And I don't know whether the finish looks a bit plasticky, but I think that's just the pictures. But the Jazzmaster's got to be an absolute win for that. That is
absolutely,
absolutely killer product for that price. Not that it was a bad price at £459, but sometimes when these things come down, you just think, well, yeah, that is just, that's a lot of guitar for the money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of guitar for the money.
What about an offset Telecaster, Matt? Would you ever get an offset? Do you remember Jay had an offset telly?
Yeah, do you know, because for years they didn't make them and they called them, what, the Telemaster,
which was a better name than offset telly.
Yeah,
who's in charge of Fender marketing?
I don't know why they never went for that. But that's a cool guitar because you've got the wide range humbucker in the neck. Personally, I would like that because it's got the rosewood board and I need more stuff with rosewood board. But the neck is high gloss. And I know me and you differ on that, Joe, because I'd rather have a satin neck rather than a sticky gloss neck. But that's cool. I don't know what else they do in, because they've sort of got a wide range of different bits in that, but I don't think they've got anything else in that offset sort of Teddy range anymore. So that's a great guitar if you want that body shape. Otherwise, you're going to Warmoth and paying far too much for an individual body and neck. Are you there, Joe?
Oh, sorry. you finished on like a neck, and I thought I'd lost you.
I thought I'd lost you. No. Technical difficulties.
I'm sorry.
That's the problem when I can't see you.
Yeah, so dear listener, I'm not going to cut this, Matt. Dear listener, Matt has Matt has given his wife his webcam, so I haven't seen Matt in,
that sounds
in weeks.
Terrible. I gave my wife my webcam. She's not giving it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I need to buy a new webcam.
No visual cues, Matt. I get no visual cues from you.
I know, that's the difficult thing.
Yeah.
But yes, no, I had finished.
Right, okay. I mean, I slightly ignored it because I'm just flicking through these incredible deals on the Thomann website. This is going to be an expensive evening for me. I've got a feeling.
and a good day for me. Lots of presents coming my way, I'm sure. But we should, Joe, talk, because this sort of leads on to something that I wanted to talk about last week, which was lots of new things happening at Fender. Although it's been a bit of a slow news weeks, there's been a couple of new signature Fenders, including the Mike Kerr signature Jaguar bass. Mm-hmm. And it sort of led me on a path of, again, Squires. You know, we just live in such a great time where you can buy cheap guitars that are good, so you can keep buying guitars, because otherwise, you know, normally always too expensive. And I hadn't realized how many web exclusives the Fender.com website have for Fender Squire exclusives in the UK.
Unbelievable. What a great idea.
So these are, as far as we're aware, the only available on Fender.com, and as of this podcast, are available on Fender.com GB. So they are shipping to the UK or from the UK. And it's mainly limited edition finishes.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm really into some of these finishes.
All right. What's your favourite?
Well, from the guitar perspective, it's got to be Paranormal Esquire Deluxe in blue sparkle.
Esquire Deluxe. Dear listener, if you haven't seen the Paranormal Esquire Deluxe, it's not really an Esquire. It's a 70s style Telecaster, like 77 Telecaster, but with just the wide range humbucker in the bridge. So you've got this massive amount of scratch plate on there with nothing in it, and then just two volume controls and a little toggle that I assume is doing something.
It's a three-way selector for, because we did look at this before and I didn't even clock that it had on there. But yeah, switch for single coil humbucking and then humbucking with volume and tone bypass.
If actually, only they'd done that with a vintage tint neck.
No, I like it. I like that. I really want one. Maybe I should hit up some contacts and get that.
£369, Matthew.
Although, actually, when I've clicked on it, it says notify me when available. It doesn't say that when you look at it. but that is very cool. I think that is, I'm into that. Then from a bass perspective, I mean, surely it's got to be the Paranormal Rascal bass HH in shell pink.
With a taut guard and a matching headstock.
I mean, that is, that is such a cool bass.
It's unbelievable. I feel like it's hit us at the wrong time though, Matt. I feel like if this had come out imagine when the GAC Guitar Shop podcast started, or the Starter Guitar Nerds, if this guitar had come out then, we'd have probably bought 10.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'd have bought two. It would have won Gear of the Year, hands down. Now we're so oversaturated with Shellpink short scales that I'm sort of like, yeah, this is fun.
It's going to be interesting when we get round to Gear of the Year, because there's so many limited runs. You know, we're going to have to really think about the criteria this year, because, you know, there's just so many different things. I mean, they even have a Squire Bronco in purple.
Yeah. Oh,
ultraviolet gorgeous, purple.
Yeah. It's like, it's a non-metallic purple, dear listener. So it's just such a strange color. It's so hard to quantify. It's almost,
but
movie.
I just think it's such a good time to be able to, I don't know, if you just want to buy something and you don't want to spend loads of money, you can just get a cool thing to like play around with. It's wicked. Actually, the Bronco, I didn't realize the Bronco now also comes as a standard color in Tahitian coral.
The Bronco comes with, you can get an Indian laurel neck on the Bronco now for the first time ever. It's always been maple only.
Yeah, in black, though, which is a shame. But then, you know, that's not the worst of all the guitar colours. But
what's your least favourite guitar colour, Matthew?
Three-tone sunburst.
What? You're not actually saying that. Matt, three-tone sunburst is maybe the best. It's like the quintessential standard. It says quality. It can make an affordable guitar look quality. A Squire Affinity Stratocaster in three-tone sunburst.
No, it can do the opposite. I think it can make a good guitar look cheap.
Wrong. Two-tone sunburst can do that. Three-tone is always good. There's no situation and there's no guitar that's ever been built in three-tone sunburst that hasn't looked premium.
No, I'm going to have to agree to disagree there, Joe. I'm not into the sunbursts. I would say, in fact, it's not necessarily even sunburst. It's bursts in general.
What?
I think sunburst.
So wait, you don't like silverburst? Wait. So you don't like Antigua?
No one likes old boiled egg burst.
Mushroom burst, I'll have you know.
Actually, silver burst is the exception to that. I will take silver burst. It is great. But most other bursts, meh.
What about that awful Fender one that I ended up playing at that gig because Jay Stu hasn't picked up that Jazzmaster from me? What's that colour called?
Midnight.
Dark Knight.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, that's borderline, but not great.
Matt, it's the worst one. That one's like a travesty to bursts.
Yeah. But that is my work. What about you then, Joe? A Burgundy Mist, I guess. Is it still Burgundy Mist?
What? No, least favourite. We were talking about least favourite, right?
I thought Burgundy Mist. Maybe I'm just
I love Burgundy Mist. Yeah, I love Burgundy Mist. That's a great colour.
All right, least favourite colour. Hit me.
I don't know, probably something pastel. I mean, it's so easy to do it because you can look at like Squire colors and be like, yeah, that weird royal blue that they do. But I would say, I think blue is the hardest color to do a guitar because you can get great blues like Daphne Blue. It's fantastic. You know, can be fantastic, but it can be terrible. It can go either way. Sonic Blue is almost always good because it's almost white. But then Pelham Blue is fantastic. But Lake Placid Blue, which is very close to Pelham Blue, is terrible. So it's difficult.
I think it's always, to me, the classic colours, so the DuPont car colours, are the best colours in my opinion. I think they still are.
They're very good. Mercedes Blue. Mercedes Blue is one of my favourite finishes that I've ever seen.
The Clapton finish.
It's really, I know. He's a horrible person. But I really like the colour. I don't want to like his stuff, but I still like Cream, the band, you know.
People
still listen to Michael Jackson, you know.
So here, I think this is a 50s Fender order sheet, maybe. So Lake Placid Blue, Sherwood Green, Daphne Blue, Foam Green, Sonic Blue, Shoreline Gold Metallic, Surf Green, Olympic White, Inca Silver Metallic, Fiesta Red, Dakota Red, Burgundy Mist, Black, and Shell Pink. They were your options. I mean, man, when you see a 50s like muscle car in Shell Pink, I just think they look so good.
The pastel colors are definitely great, but I like a dark, rich color. I like a color to look like a leather bound book, an oak table. You know, I want it to.
That's where we differ.
Favorite color, then, Matt, because I think mine will surprise you. But go on, then. Favorite finish.
I mean, do I even need to? You know, pink is my color of choice. Shopping for a new sofa at the weekend as we move house, and looking through the swatches, I was like, we could have a pink sofa.
Shell Pink is going to pick up every single stain.
I don't care.
You need to.
I want a pink sofa, and I want a pink. Then we were looking at kitchens, and I was like, I could have a pink kitchen. Apparently it's in. Bright color kitchens are in. Amy's like, it'll date so quickly. I was like, yes. But I will live forever. I think pink, if pink didn't exist,
Well, you can't just say pink, Matt. I'm saying guitar
shell,
finishes.
Well, shell pink.
Just shell pink, shell, not metallic shell pink. Pink. Just straight shell pink, shell, not aged shell pink. Pink. Shell pink.
No, just straight shell pink.
Shell pink.
But if it wasn't shell pink, then paisley. Actually, no, because it'd have to say pink paisley, and I think that's unfair. If all my guitars had to come in a different color, a more classic color, so difficult. Because like I've got a Baja Telly, and I think that color would look rubbish on a Strat.
Vintage blonde, it's a color that only works in one setting, doesn't it?
Shoreline Gold.
That's a great choice. I've got a lot of time.
Because I had two guitars in Shoreline Gold, and I thought I liked that color a lot. Champagne Sparkle, maybe.
Ugh, no, it's tacky, Matthew. Just stick with Shoreline.
I am tacky. But yeah, all right then, Joe. Come on then. Hit me.
It's going to surprise you. Here we go. Aged charcoal frost.
Aged charcoal frost.
Charcoal frost metallic, I think, is the full name of the color.
Aged charcoal frost metallic.
First time I saw it was on the Fender Custom Shop Sean Hurley Signature 61 Precision Bass. And I thought it looked absolutely amazing.
I didn't even know that.
What's his chops? That fellow that I hate is his bass player.
Who's
that guy I hate?
Drummer?
John Mayer, that's it. Yeah, it's his bass player. Sean Hurley does loads of things other than that. But
that is cool.
He did a 61P bass with a torque guard. Yeah, aged charcoal frost metallic with a torque guard. Oh, rosewood neck P bass with flat wounds and a little Jaguar mute kit fitted. Oh, yes, please.
I actually think I know we're on a bit of a tangent here, but the best, in my opinion, the best ever looking bass we ever had come through the doors was Wes Steed's ex-GAC employee, his custom shop. What was it?
62
P bass in Olympic white over candy apple red. Which is now owned by Scott Devine, Scott's Bass Lessons, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Scott Devine has a few different basses now in that relict finish.
Oh, man, it is just. Oh, that's just such a good looking bass.
It sounded good too.
It was just, that is a wicked bass. Everyone who saw that was like, that is the absolute best.
Yeah.
But doesn't have any more, but he can still look at it.
Exactly. Now, Matt, if you hate three-tone sunburst so much, that must mean, first of all, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
John Frusciante.
Isn't John Frusciante like your hero?
That is true.
But secondly, does that mean that you don't like the new Fender Mike McCready Stratocaster?
Well, I would say yes. But at the same time, it's relict enough that the relicking makes it look cool.
This Stratocaster is absolutely incredible, dear listener. The legendary Pearl Jam guitarist Mike McCready's finally had, after he had his custom shop a few years ago, has had a standard model, like a road-worn model, but it's a heavily, heavily road-worn Stratocaster in... is it two-tone? It's three-tone, isn't it? It's just a...
Yeah. Is it three-tone? It is, but it's a very blocky black finish around the edge.
Yeah, but it looks absolutely incredible. This is testament to them doing... Mexican Fenders making incredible relic jobs these days. It looks absolutely gorgeous. £1,649. This is an expensive
I think
Mexican Stratocaster. But
you're right, certainly. I mean, I haven't seen one in the flesh, but that's a pretty heavy relic job for the standard factory, as it were, because everything that we've seen out of that was obviously done, and this will be done the same as well, but a stencil. But it looks far more realistic than some of the other ones. Because do you remember, I think it was the first series of the Road Worn or the second series, and the necks, they tried to relic the necks, and they were like so just done on a stencil to like extreme degrees that it they just didn't look right at all. But this looks far more tastefully done, I think.
It looks fantastic. The demo with Mike McCready himself sounds absolutely fantastic as well. I mean, if you wanted a relic Stratocaster and you didn't want to pay £4,000 for Fender to do it, this is surely an amazing option. I really like the middle tone control is aged and the other two aren't.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I changed those recently, so yeah, you know, exactly. Whatever. But it is very, very cool. It was, I mean, if you're a massive Pearl Jam fan, obviously, and having the custom shop version before, not being able to get it, and now having this one available, yes, a little bit more of a premium price. I couldn't imagine when we were at working in stores selling a Mexican Fender for £1,600. But times have changed. Things are more expensive and you still get a cracking guitar for the money.
Yeah, the Mexican stuff is incredible quality.
And I mean, you've got the custom shop pickups, the pickups you're only going to get in that. Road worn lacquer finish, you know, 9.5-inch slab rosewood fingerboard. So they've not just put a laminate board on there. I like the fact you've got the aged dots on there. They've really taken the time to make a great looking guitar.
Yeah.
At, you know, in a sort of more affordable factory, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's,
are you? I so good, I just Matt. Think for I me, think and again, it. I'm sure I'm gonna lose a few followers over this one, but I've just never really... I guess I'm just a bit of a loser when it comes to music. And Pearl Jam, just... I didn't listen to a lot of Pearl Jam, and I've listened to some now. Yeah. And I do like it, but I think at the time, I just... Again, just a band that... I mean, I didn't really grow up in the grunge era. I grew up... Sure. I know you're a bit older than me, Joe. Not massively, but a little bit. I grew up in an era where, if you think about early 2000s, it was all just like... Grunge had gone, like new metal was... It's like, no, you've got to play your... You know, you've got to be like Wes Borland and play your crazy... Well, I mean, everyone just wanted to play an Ibanez, realistically. Yeah. No one wanted to play a Fender. Everyone wanted to play an Ibanez. Yeah. Unless you listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then everyone wanted a Strat.
When was your... did you do a school band, Matt, that sort of defined your taste in guitars? Do a little school band?
I did. So the first person out of our group of friends that bought a guitar was... every Sunday, me and three other people used to go around this other person's house. We used to hang out every Sunday. We did that for about 8 years. And he was the first person to get a guitar, and he got an Ibanez RG7321.
Wow.
So the seventh string.
Ridiculous. Into a lot of corn, did you?
Well, it was just into a lot of corn. And quickly realized that he needed to take the low E string off. Then everyone else got guitars apart from one of our friends who got a bass. And yeah, I mean, really influenced by just flicking through the music channels. But also at that point, early 2000s, the biggest genre of music, I think, in the UK was like Ibiza. Do you know what I mean? Like dance music and that kind of whole thing. Like the 2000s were a bit of a weird void of guitar music ceased to exist, you know, I think at that point, and was sort of coming back in, I guess. But yeah, I think everyone listened to the same thing, and it was that whole not grungy. People obviously still listen to Nirvana, but were way more influenced by new metal.
Yeah.
More influenced by new metal.
When did the Strokes' first album came out in... 2001?
Was it 2001 or 2000? Yeah, it's 2001. It must have been.
Yeah, 2001.
My school band did cover that.
Oh yeah, they were the reason that I started singing high. To be honest, I was always wore my strap as low as possible until then, and then I saw the Strokes, and I was like, yes, this is what.
You're like, what's this weird bit on the strap for? And then like it just suddenly like levitates up, and you're like, I found. And then like the tie comes on and the suit, and then you're just like, oh, this is it. That is a great record, though. That first Strokes
is this
record.
It? What a perfect album. Yeah.
Absolutely, very cool.
I did,
but yeah,
very
I think
much.
Where did we get to? Michael McCready. Just I don't know, the grunge thing. You know, everyone listened to Nirvana, obviously, but sort of passed me by. I guess it was, you know, didn't start listening to Radiohead until I kind of moved to Brighton and got in with a new crowd. And you know, you listen to so many podcasts from musicians, and it's the people you're with that make the music that you listen to, realistically, isn't it?
Yeah
So yeah, I was more of a new metal kid, so I'm just waiting for the Wes Borland signature Ibanez to come back. I mean, I for ages I really wanted one of those
four string PRS.
Was it Monkey that had a signature Ibanez, the Apex 30? God, you can still buy it. I didn't realize. I thought they'd been discontinued.
What? They're still in production?
They are. You can still buy them. I just Googled it. Guitar, $13.59. Available right now. Ibanez signature Apex 30 Monkey metallic gray matte. Wow. There's that amazing... DVD of like how to, I think it's a DVD, like guitar tutorial thing back when you could still, that was still kind of really a thing.
Yeah.
And it's them talking about like the different guitar parts. And you just realize like how mad the guitar playing is, not from like a technical perspective, but they're like, we're going to play like two notes and then run it through a whammy. And it's just like, yeah, it's just, it's the weirdest tutorial because there's like nothing technical in it.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, the riff goes like 0 3 2 0 1 3 just a lot of open strings, you know, loads of distortion. Yeah, very different.
Sounds about right.
Indeed. Yeah. But yeah, no, the Mike MacCready, I might hate Sunburst, but when it's relict, you can't help. Relic saves all, in my opinion. A good relic saves all, which I know when we were at GAC was always the biggest. I'd say at least once a day someone had a conversation about, oh, I don't get relics, I hate it.
Oh, it's like, God, what is
ripped jeans you're wearing.
It's such a weird thing, isn't it? I don't care that, like, people who don't like relics have to tell you that they don't like relics. They can't just, you know, not like them quietly.
Yeah, indeed.
It's a thing. Yeah.
But anyway. So I'm going to go and buy a Wes Borland and I'm going to learn to play Break Stuff.
Idea. So Matt, anyway. I've been using Native Instruments Guitar Rig 7 Pro a lot more this week. I know we spoke about it last week, but I didn't do a sound demo or anything, so I recorded something with it this week. So Guitar Rig Pro, I didn't realize it's like £179 for the plugin, but of course, dear listener, you get the 10% off with the Guitar Nerds discount code, which I think is just Guitar Nerds. I need to check what that is, actually. But there is a long-standing discount code with all Native Instruments and Isotope plugins. But I was just like having a look at, you know, sort of the things that they've introduced on there. They've added like a Soldano amp that sounds fantastic. Their Superfast 100, their Reverb Delight, which is obviously a Fender Deluxe, which sounds absolutely amazing. They finally added a Vox AC30, which is odd that it's taken them that long to include it. Your standard Ampeg SVT300, which is, you know, great for the on the amp things. And then they've added things like a tape wobble strip, which is great that you can just run after everything and get these really weird cool effects. A noise machine, which creates tones inspired by like cassette tapes and VHS tapes and things like that, which is great just to put last in the chain. Vintage reverbs, they put this color thing which adds like character. It's like a warmth. It adds like, you know, it's like an EQ thing, but it adds that sort of analogy warmth, and a loop machine as well that's on there, and loads of pedals as well, like Tube Screamers, the Seattle Fuzz, which is a very lovely sort of grunge era style, thickly harmonic fuzz. But there's basically tons and tons of stuff on the new plugin, and the way they lay it out on the plugin in your DAW is you can kind of build it in like an effects chain, almost like a rack, which is really handy for me to be able to see what I've put in this rack that I'm running my guitar into. And then they have loads of really handy presets as well. So I thought I'd build a track using only presets. So I've used their Fender Deluxe for some rhythm guitar. Then I've used I've taken a Vox AC30 and run their thick saturated Seattle fuzz into it to add some like thick chords over the top of the picked part. And then the lead guitar, I was using this preset called Arctic, which was this lovely, incredibly dry, crisp, retro sounding preset, which sounded great with the Telecaster on the bridge pickup. And then I do this second section towards the end of this track where I used like a shimmer style effect in the background, and on top of that I ran a bunch of guitar through the aforementioned that sort of lo-fi thing that makes it sound like it's going through a cassette tape, and I put a bunch of sort of weird glitchy vibrato on it as well. But here's the sample. I think this plugin, bear in mind, this is just my Telecaster, just this plugin. You're not hearing anything else. No other processing was used on it. This is a one-stop shop. Here it is.
Thank you.
you go. I always hate that on these things, Matt. Whenever we play it, because we're on a call, it just plays it in mono, so everything just gets slammed into your ears. And I did some really great panning on that, which the listeners will hear.
I thought it sounded wicked. That fuzz, especially, you know, the fact that it's all in a plugin. And I was having this conversation with... I know we had this conversation last week briefly, but I was talking to another colleague, and again, just plugins versus real amps, and you know, it's just they sound so good. Plugins just they do sound so good. They're so versatile. They're so just worth getting into because of what you can do now, and it's just the modern way of being able to write and record music and do demos, and like you couldn't have just done demos like that before. It's just it's incredible the sounds that you're getting out of that, and that's not a cranked up amp. And you know, realistically, eyes closed, you'd never tell the difference.
So
I thought it was really cool. The shimmer sound was cool, but the fuzz sound won it for me. You know, if that's a plug-in, then you know, put that plug-in in a pedal. Basically, so impressive.
Yeah, they are very good. Now, we are coming to the end of this week's podcast, dear listener. Matt and I are going to head over to Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where actually each week we record an extra episode. This week, we're going to be looking at some of the questions that you have been posing, dear listener, over on the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. I think we're maybe going to talk about Henrik Linder. Is talking about options for sort of mid-level reverb pedals. He's an interesting question about how it's a matter of taste, of course, but when people talk about reverb pedals, they tend to talk about the most expensive ones, like Strymon and Chase Bliss, or if you just want a cheap reverb, then you go for Moore or Behringer, or what's in between. So we're going to talk about some of the great options that there are there. Andy Manley, this is a question from last week, actually, dear listener, that we didn't get round to last week, has put us towards this website called mydreampartscaster.com, which is an extraordinarily exciting website. So we're going to have a look at some of the stock that they've got over there. And yeah, we might look at some other questions as well. We'll see how it goes. But thank you very much once again for listening, dear listener. Come over and join us on patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you head there, it'll give you all the information on how you can sign up. If you're heading over to Guitar Summit, if you're in Europe, let us know. Matt and I will be there. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have a great time. And we'll be back next week, probably, for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your goodie bags. But for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strong, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izao Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravitt.